There's nobody out here. There's nobody out here. Some attorneys. There was? Okay. So my name's Wendell. I'm learning what it means to have God love me to a better place. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse, addiction to food and work and control, and I've had issues with pornography, alcohol, rage, depression, and panic. So when you finish totally screwing up a song and your son turns to you and says, you know, I heard Ozzy Osbourne try to sing the national anthem dead drunk one time, and he said, that kind of sounded like that. So I feel pretty good about it now. I feel like, yeah, that's what I was aiming at. So that song actually means a lot to me. I wrote that at a time when I didn't really feel it so much, but I wanted to write about our God, and we just never do it. So when I started to play it at home to practice it, I thought, oops, I should have been practicing this all week, because I forgot how it went. That's true. Well, I'm sober. I promise. I'm sober. Yeah. 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 Okay, so I don't know how well you can see, but I'm just going to put my notes up that high. Can you see what it says? People I don't like. I won't show you what's on the rest of it. It's this long list, and some of y'all are on it. So we need to talk about this. I need to get something off my chest. This is the place to come and be honest, right? What's really so strange with the way things go on a Sunday here, it's just really weird. The gathering this morning, JB, Jason Brown, had an idea of what we were going to talk about. I had no idea what it was whatsoever. I show up. And I said, what are we going to talk about this morning? So he told me what it was, and I thought, what? And it's exactly what we're going to talk about tonight. I've been working on this lesson all week. People I don't like. What do you do with people you don't like? What do you do with people you don't like? Let's take a survey, okay? Let's take a survey. Now, we're going to distinguish here, not Crowder peas or purple hull peas, but like the little green peas you get in a can, okay? So, you got two choices, and if you don't like either one, then you can't vote. Who likes green peas best, and who likes carrots best? Green peas. Carrots. Dadgum, it's about a dead heat. Oh, he voted twice. See, yeah, that was the other problem. Some people like both. Now, let's just have peas and carrots. Would there anybody here be offended to sit down across the table? If you're a peas person, would you be offended in any way to sit down across the table from somebody who preferred carrots and have a discussion about why you preferred the one and they preferred the other? There probably would. You could go at it for an hour and there would probably be zero hurt feelings. There would be. You would actually enjoy the conversation. You would probably leave it feeling closer to the person you talked to than you did before. But one of you is a carrot person, one of you is a pea person. But still, that'd be cool. You could leave like that. Because with peas and carrots, it's just a matter of taste. It's just my palate likes this, my palate likes that. Nobody is saying that you are an intrinsically better or more valuable person if you eat carrots and you don't eat peas. Nobody's saying that you're, you know, a notch or two above because you eat one or the other. You're just saying, when it comes to eating, I prefer peas or I prefer carrots. But let's take this like one more step. Veggies are pretty benign, you know. Veggies are like, you're not going to fight over veggies. So vegetable preference is pretty benign. But what if you went to car makers? They have decals, you know, of a little fella peeing on the other, you know. So that's not quite as benign. I mean, there's a little bit of venom. Well, at least urine there. You know, it's a little bit of, you know, I prefer mine over yours or whatever. What about sports teams? See, now we're getting a little more You know, if you live right around Shelbyville, Kentucky, not Georgetown. Georgetown's too close to Lexington. You live right around Shelbyville, Kentucky. Do y'all know where that is? That's between Lexington and Louisville. Yeah. So, okay, are you a Louisville Cardinals fan or a UK Wildcat fan? I mean, see, do what?
Neither.
Well, that doesn't work. But see, but that is a little different than peas and carrots, right? It's a little bit different than peas, and especially the night of the ball game. It gets a little more heated. And then we get into regional values. You move into a new area of the country somewhere, and you just start living your life, and all of a sudden you realize, we don't do that around here. We have certain values that we keep in this region, and that's not one of them. So you know, you're best informed not to participate in that, whatever. Then you just look at the election we just came through. You have political persuasions where a lot of Americans couldn't even drive in the same car. We couldn't even, you know, Americans couldn't even talk about it. So veggies are pretty benign, but then you get into other things where viewpoints begin to conflict a little bit. But even that is not, if you voted a different way than your neighbor did back in the election, I'll bet you a dime to a donut you're back talking to him now. You know, if you voted another way, like a person you work with at work, you're probably back talking to him now. You may even go out for a sandwich from time to time. You may even yuck it up over the election. I don't know. But even that's kind of died off. But what about when you have there's a certain personality type. There's just this certain kind of person, as soon as they walk through the door, my bells and whistles go off. I can spot them a mile away. I can smell them. The flavor of the room changes when they walk in. Mommy just walked in the room. He's my neighbor. I love him. But you know what I'm talking about. There's certain personality types. They have values completely different than yours. And it seems like every time you're with them, it's like it's just perpetually hurtful. You find yourself in distress, in inner distress, and at the very least you find them inconvenient. My life was just, you know, sailing along, and all of a sudden this person called, they dropped by, I bumped into them at the store, I have to work in the cubicle next to them today at work, whatever, and you find your life is suddenly kind of inconvenienced. There's an edge to it. It's not flowing like it was. It's not, you know, that's the kind of person we want to talk about. Not a difference between peas and carrots, but a personality type or a real extreme difference in values that you hold. You may have a real negative history with this person. It's really hard just to act like that elephant's not in the room, you know. And so there are various reasons why certain people, you just say, I love them, but I do not like that person. And by the way, maybe we should just back up and punt here for just a second. Are we all good with the idea that we don't have to like everybody? Are we all okay with that? I mean, we love them. It took me a long time to realize that there's a good probability that Jesus didn't like everybody. You know, I can't speak for him. That's not fair. But I've thought a lot about it, and I thought, you know, maybe there were some. He treated some people like he didn't really like them. At least he didn't like what they did, you know. So maybe we need to say that first, that it's okay not to like. So here's what I've been thinking about. So we just surround ourselves in life with people we like. We just surround ourselves with people who make us feel good. They make us feel happy. They make us feel comfortable. They make us feel safe. And the rest, we, in some way or another, figure out a way to keep them out of our lives. So our life is all about finding people we like and avoiding people we don't like. You look distressed as I feel. How's that working? I mean, really? That becomes my agenda in life. What are you going to do today? I'm going to hang out with people I like and routinely and rabidly avoid people I don't like. That's your life. Wow. That's not a happy life. That's not a free life. That's a very weirdly, weirdly vigilant life and a very judgmental life. Is that a good word to use? So what do we do with people we don't necessarily like? Remember, we've used this term a lot in here. We've talked about the primal lizard brain. Is that a term we can access again? Just a short definition. It's the brain that we've had ever since the caveman, way back, that says, I'll do whatever. It's that reactive part of your brain that says, I'll do whatever I have to keep myself safe and comfortable. I will protect me and myself, my own, and I will keep us as comfy as I can. It's that lizard brain that's just all about me and mine, and it reacts. It doesn't respond. It just reacts. And so the lizard brain, the primal lizard brain in us, would say about people we don't like, just either run from them or fight them. You run from them or you defeat them. I don't want to listen to them, so I'll get out of earshot or I'll shut them up. You know, shut up. People we don't like, the lizard brain says run or fight. Those are the two options. Why? Because you make me feel uncomfortable or you make me feel unsafe. The lizard brain kicks in. Got to do something about this. I'm either out of here or I'm going to shut you up one way or another. So that's the old lizard brain. That's the primal lizard brain. At least we know about that now. At least we talk about it quite a bit here at Pathway. And so we understand that that's our instinct. That's our default setting given pressure and crisis. That's where we tend to go. But we're not lizards. We're humans made in the image of God. And so we can see ourselves thinking that way, but we can rise above that and decide to think in a more mature, humane way. We've said this over and over. You sit, you look at yourself. Look at me. I'm being that primal lizard person. You're up here looking down at yourself. I choose not to be that kind of person. I choose not to react to that person with fight or flight. I choose to take a more mature, humane, Jesus way of treating this person. So the word I came up with is exploration. We're with this person we don't like. We have to associate with them somehow. What if we looked at them as an adventure to explore? Not a danger to avoid, not an enemy to defeat, but an adventure to explore. And so I want to know what makes you tick. I want to know your story. I want to know where you came from. I want to know what it is between us, and you can't just readily say this to anybody. You might could to some. I want to know what it is between us that makes for this bad chemistry. I want to understand this. We may not ever be bosom buddies. We may not ever be best friends. But I really want to hear your story. I want to explore. You know, that's a much more mature humane thing to do. It has curiosity in it. It has interest. It has respect. I respect you enough to want to know your story. But exploration is not the same as investigation or interrogation or interviewing. You know, if somebody shows up with a pad of paper and a pencil and says, I want to get to know you, and I've got 5 questions I want to ask you, there should be some, wait a minute. You know, I'm not interviewing for that job. Don't really want that job. But when it's a much more, you know, exploratory thing, or if you do that with somebody else, it's much more relaxed and exploratory. Okay, so I got a silly example. I grew up in Wilmore, Kentucky. Wilmore, Kentucky is just south of Lexington, Kentucky. Lexington's Fayette County. Wilmore is Jessamine County. Anybody ever hear of Jessamine County? Some of y'all have. County seat's Nicholasville. Wilmore's a little town where I grew up. Almahurst Farm. Anybody ever hear of Almahurst Farm? It's a horse farm. That's where Man of War was. You ever hear of Man of War? Yeah. Well, Almahurst Farm was in Jessamine County. And on that farm, which is kind of the flat part of the county, there's this little creek that starts. And it runs all the way and winds itself around, and it gets deeper and deeper and steeper and steeper. and more, not raging, but more aggressive, assertive, as it moves toward the Kentucky River, right above High Bridge. Anybody ever hear High Bridge, Kentucky? It's right above Lock 7 on the Kentucky River. It's where I grew up, all through all these places. So it starts on Alma Hearst Farm, and it goes all the way to, and it's called Jessamine Creek, named after the county. Or maybe the county was named after the creek, I don't know. Anyway, when I was growing up, I never had enough money for a fishing boat. So every spring, me and my brother-in-law would want to go on Jessamine Creek and start catching smallmouth. You could get smallmouth bass, you could catch rock bass, you could catch a few crappie, not many. You could catch what we call big mouth little bass, which I think, Donnie could probably help me. I think that's a warmouth bass, but we always call it a big mouth little bass. That's what we ask. We catch bluegill, catch some catfish. You never knew exactly what kind of fish you were going to catch. But we would push it every year. We would get out there late March, early April. The water was frigid. And the only way you could fish the creek is to wade it. And we didn't have enough money for waders, so we just waded in our blue jeans. Freeze yourself to death. You would take an old shoestring off of a boot, and you would tie it on your belt loop, and you would put all your fishing lures in a soap box. Do anybody remember what soap boxes are? I don't know if you still use those. Use them when you travel. You put your soap in it, okay? So you put all your lures in a soap box and stick it in your pocket. You take your wallet and put it in the other pocket so it didn't get wet. And you would wade these creeks with a single fishing rod, and you would start plugging the bank for fish, whatever you could catch. And you'd start so early that you didn't stay but like a half an hour because you would be frozen, and you'd go back to the car and say, why did we do that? And every year we'd do that. Why did we do that? You know you're not going to catch anything, but we'd go anywhere anyway. As it warmed up, then you'd start catching fish. It's interesting that we went to the same creek every year. Every year we went to the same creek. But every late March, early April was met with the same sense of anticipation and excitement. Next weekend, we're going to the creek. What if it snows? We might go anyway. It's going to be cold. It's okay. We'll go anyway. We'll get back in the car as quick as we need to. We'll turn the heater up. We'll be all right. It was always met with this feeling of anticipation. We were exploring the next bend. We've been through every pool, every riffle, every rapids, every bend. We've been past Chrisman Cave, where you could go up and get a drink of spring water. We'd go all up and down this creek. We knew where all the deadfalls were. We knew where all the boulders were. We knew where all the pools were and where the fish lay in the pools. But every year, it was like this fresh exploration because of several things. We knew that every inch of water, well, not every inch of water, but most of water had the potential of having fish in it. And we never knew exactly what kind of fish we were going to catch, but we knew we were going to catch fish. And we knew that even if we didn't catch fish, the adventure was priceless. Just the fact that we were out there. So I got to thinking about all these fishing adventures that we had. And I thought about how that applies to people that we don't like. People we don't necessarily want to cuddle up next to. And the first thing is, all the water was valuable because it held possibilities. All the water was valuable because it held possibilities. And we tend to look at people we don't like and instantly write them off. They are not valuable. Why aren't they valuable? Because they make me feel uncomfortable and they make me feel unsafe. Uncomfortable, unsafe equals not valuable. Do we really want to say that? So they're worth exploring because you don't know where you're going to find fish. So you explore it all. So you begin to ask questions. You begin to spend time with them. You begin to look for the value in them and the possibilities in them. So that's the first thing I learned from the fishing trips. All the water was valuable because it held possibilities. All humans are valuable because they hold the possibility of grace and beauty and goodness. You know, the problem is some people don't know how to express grace and beauty and goodness in really comfy ways. You know, it just comes out all wrong, kind of like that song I tried to do. I knew what I wanted to say, but it just came out all wrong. That's okay. So we begin to explore them because all the water is valuable because it holds possibilities. Each trip is rewarding because of the anticipation. If you start looking at all human beings, whether you like them or not, if you start looking at every human being as worthwhile, as valuable to you, then every conversation you have with them is filled with anticipation. You may come away with no fish. You may come away and say, I don't know anything more about them than I did before the conversation started. But it's worth it because of the anticipation, because of the value that they gain by me spending time with them. They gain value. It sent them a message. You're worthwhile. So each trip is rewarding because of the anticipation. And here's the thing that really hit me. Since I've been in recovery for like almost a dozen years now, I keep asking myself, what has happened to me? I know we have well-defined steps that we go through. We go through the 12 steps. We meet in groups midweek and we pour out our stuff and we look back at our past. We discover things about our past. And then we write it down. You know, we chronicle it. And then we find somebody to tell and we do this over and over and over. We look, we write, we tell. We look, we write, we tell. And so I know we've got kind of this, I hate this word, but we kind of have this formula. We have these steps and this method. But I'm not bald, but I'm going bald. I've scratched my head nearly bald thinking, so I don't get how this works. I don't know how this works. Because my relationship with myself is different. My relationship with God is different. And my relationship with other people is way different than it used to be. How did this happen? You know, I don't understand how I got to this better place than I was 10 or 12 years ago. And then it kind of dawned on me. Life is much more peaceful when you're looking for something instead of controlling or defending something. Let that sink in. Life is so much more enjoyable and peaceful when you're looking for something instead of defending something or controlling something. Think about pre-recovery days for you. How many people in here, you don't have to raise your hand because I know it'd be a flood of hands, at the root are control freaks? I'll raise my hand. Even though I told you not to raise your hand, everybody's like, yeah. That's at the root of it, right? How much effort does it take to control yourself and your life and your people? You can't do it. And we keep trying. How many of us have spent most, and you don't raise your hand unless you just have to. How many of you have spent a good part of your life trying to defend yourself, trying to prove your worth, trying to stave off abuse by defending, trying to keep your job by proving your worth, you know, whatever. Think of the calories and think of the effort that you spend to do that, to defend yourself. So you're either trying to control the other people in your life or you're trying to defend yourself from some sort of abuse or neglect or whatever. Think of all the energy and time and calories that you spend doing that. When I look back, I get tired just thinking about it. And now I look at my life and I think, my life is much more about exploring. About exploring life, about exploring grace, about exploring the people in my life. It's so much more peaceful. It's not lazy. It's not apathetic. You know, people look at recovery and say, oh, that's just lazy and apathetic. You just sit by a tree and wait for God to do something. No, it's not that at all. But life has become about exploring the person in front of you, the possibility in front of you, family members you haven't talked to in a long time, people you don't necessarily like, people you have to work with yet you find inconvenient. You start exploring the possibilities of grace and goodness and beauty in those people. Ask a few questions. Spend some time. Eat a sandwich. Drink some coffee. You know? And you start exploring these things. And it's a much more peaceful life than trying to control or defend. That sucks the wind right out of you. I'm trying to think of the people I don't like. There may be a couple, but my list has gotten shorter and shorter to almost like, You know how that little puff of smoke just goes and you think, wow, wow. I used to give you a big, long list of people I didn't like, and now it's like, I don't know that I can think of anybody right now. That's just fun. That's just fun. Okay, Amanda's going to come up and say something, but we got to give a disclaimer before this last little piece. Jo Ellen and I wrote this song together, and she hates it. Just straight up, she hates it. But it's so much fun. Oh, you give me your word then. Okay, that's her word. It's not her favorite.
It's instrumental. My vocals are not strong enough there. I just didn't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I didn't mean to put hate in.
I'm so sorry.
How do you really feel? Okay, that was too strong a word. She doesn't hate it. She doesn't like singing this song, but we, the three of us, love to play it. So we're just going to do an instrumental just for fun. If you want to get up and boogie, you can. We'll wait till you say what you got to say, man.
All right, so it's we take up an offering every week, and all the money stays here. Will two people come up and help with this?